Through another week, President Bush stood fast in his determination to confront Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. With American and British troops massing near Iraq's border and naval flotillas assembled in the Persian Gulf, American defense officials say the military apparatus required for war is now in place. On the diplomatic front this week, the United Nations and Britain plan to present the UN Security Council with a new resolution condemning Iraq, and Baghdad still has not responded to a letter from Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix demanding that Iraq destroy a stockpile of Al-Samud II missiles. Blix says the missiles have been engineered to travel beyond the 93-mile limit set by the United Nations in 1991. The Iraqis must respond by this coming Saturday, the day Blix presents his next report to the Security Council. Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a regular guest on our program, and he joins us in the studio today. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Leah.
Michael, what is going to be in this next Security Council resolution?
I think it'll be very short and very to the point, or actually not to the point. They won't even bother to say we're going to war. They will simply say Saddam is in material breach, and everyone will know what that means. And I think at this point we want to avoid a protracted negotiation over language. We're going to have a hard enough time getting any resolution through, no matter how benign or how general.
Discuss that a little bit. How do you see the council members lining up on the resolution?
Well, right now it looks as if you had to vote today, we'd be hard-pressed to get more than a total of four votes, with Spain and Bulgaria joining the United States and Britain. Even allies like Mexico and Chile, even friends like Pakistan, don't seem bent on going along with this, and they wonder why we have to be in such a hurry. It's not as if they say Saddam should be allowed to keep his weapons, but they wonder why the rush to war, and they suspect the Bush administration wants to go to war for its own sake, for its own purposes, regardless of whether inspections are working or not. It's not a fully fair charge, but it is the way the world sees this.
2 weeks ago, Hans Blix was sounding pretty optimistic about the prospect of Iraqi compliance cooperation with the weapons inspectors, but this past week, the optimism seems to have disappeared. What's happened to change Blix's tune?
Hans Blix is in a terrible position because he's trying to be a neutral inspector, sort of a judge of this process, and he's getting a lot of pressure from competing wings of the Security Council who have different views about whether we should go to war or not, whether Saddam is fundamentally complying or not. And so Blix, to some extent, is the victim of his last conversation and the pressure that's being put upon him politically, but he's also trying to strike a balance. And the bottom line is, I think Blix's message has actually been fairly consistent when you think about it. The message is, Iraq is nowhere near satisfying our concerns, but the process of inspections is working reasonably well. So depending on which of those two elements you emphasize, it can sound good or sound bad. Bottom line, we are nowhere near having disarmed Iraq as demanded under UN Security Council 1441.
Let's talk a little bit about Turkey. Negotiations continued this week between Turkey and the United States over rights for the United States and British forces to use Turkey as a staging ground in a potential war with Iraq, and there are signs of a breakthrough. Explain, if you can, just how important is Turkey for this war against Iraq?
There are 2 points to make. One, we can certainly overthrow Saddam even without Turkey. We can go in, put all the forces in through Kuwait. It'll make for another traffic jam in Kuwait City's harbor. It'll take longer, but we can do it. And we can certainly then bring the forces up and encircle Baghdad, where the final battle is most likely to be in any case. So that dimension of the problem is not so much of concern. However, what happens up north is of concern, and we want to control Iraq's ability to destroy oil fields and set them on fire around the city of Kirkuk. This is a region where a lot of Iraq's oil is produced. And secondly, of course, we're worried about the Turks and the Kurds fighting, worried about Turkey bringing forces into Iraq, staking out its own piece of the territory there. We don't want Turkey to sort of have free hand to be the number one outside power in this region because it could lead to a real war with Iraq's Kurds. So for both those reasons, we're much better off controlling the situation if we can go in through the north.
Michael, this past week, the Pentagon announced that it's sending a total of 3,000 troops to the southern Philippines as part of the war on terrorism. The United States also has tens of thousands of troops in Korea. A large contingent remains in and around Afghanistan. And, of course, we've got this huge buildup in the Persian Gulf against Iraq. Can the United States military handle the task it's being given?
The short answer is yes. We have enough people, we have enough combat forces to actually go off and do these different things for a short period of time. But the question is, what are you doing to the military? What is the sort of longer-term effect on the people and on the equipment? And we could keep 300,000 American forces in the desert waiting for a war against Saddam until next fall if we wanted to. We have the people. The troops will do it. They're patriotic. They're dedicated. But the bottom line is you're breaking the equipment and you're breaking the morale at some point of the troops. So I think the hard question here is going to be, can we sustain all this stuff after Saddam is overthrown, when we have to maintain many tens of thousands of American forces in the Persian Gulf for several years? That may require a larger military than we have today, even if we can win the war and do the other missions that you mentioned with the current force.
And still pay attention to those other missions that are going on.
And they're hard. There's no doubt they're hard. And of course, Korea is the bigger issue than the Philippines here. Korea, who knows what could happen? The Bush administration doesn't have an answer to that, and it's a major crisis.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a regular guest on our program. Thanks so much for coming in today, Michael.
My pleasure. Thanks, Leanne.